Our mission is to protect the rights of children to have access to their parents by providing education, resources, and support services for successful co-parenting strategies.
And this is really amazing because I see that children who grow up without access to both responsible and accountable parents are 4 times more likely to live in poverty, 9 times more likely to drop out of school, and it's et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So this is an organization that helps parents and children acclimate and accommodate. Greg, how did you meet with Jake, and how did this organization develop?
Well, Jake is actually a longtime friend of I'm a longtime friend of the family, of the Hornstein family. Originally, I did some IT work for Mr. Steve Hornstein. So by way of Steve Hornstein, I met Jake. And we've just had a long-lasting relationship since the inception of meeting the actual family. And so one of the ways that we came about in getting started with this organization is, again, Jake will tell more about the story a little later, but I had a lived experience, and I was actually promoting some of the actual apparel that I was wearing and promoting about Our Children Have Rights, the book, and some of the actual T-shirts and the other apparels. And I was wearing it one day, and Jake said, "Hey, you know, what is this you have on?" And Jake actually thought it was a band that I was in.
Let's go on the road.
Right.
But you did go on the road with this message.
We did.
Right. And so after I actually explained to him, you know, exactly what was going on and the actual thing that I had started, he came up with the idea and said, "Hey, you know, have you ever thought about it being a nonprofit organization?" I said no, but he had experience. And so he said, "Hey, you know, let's get started. If you're in, I'm in." I said, "Well, hey, let's do it." And so we started Our Children Have Rights that day.
Jake, what do you do? How do you do it? Tell me about the no-cost virtual resource center and the services you provide with Greg.
Sure. So basically what we wanted to create was something that was fully accessible for anybody. That's why .org is actually part of the official name of the business, just to further emphasize that no matter where the parent resides, we're able to help them. And so the website it's almost like a no-cost library. It's open 24/7. It's information on parenting plans. A lot of times it's dumbing down terminology like child custody, support obligation. Really, we're dealing with complicated legal matters. And a lot of times when parents, even if they want to research it on their own, it's described in other legal terms. So we try to put everything into layman's terms and make everything more easier for the average parent to understand.
And it also supports mental health and wellness because it is such a stressful time, both going through divorce,
yes,
navigating divorce, especially during the holidays. Talk a little bit about that. I believe you won an award of Community Spirit Award, 2023 Amplify Clearwater, and 2022 Launch Award for the excellence of your business model. Talk to us a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, that's great. The awards are great. Joining the chambers and the other chambers have been a really good business decision for us, not just meeting a lot of people, but also helping their employees. You know, a lot of them are business leaders. They run companies. They have large employee bases, and they could turn to us as an asset to help them as an available resource for their parents in the workforce. You can imagine parents going through this. It takes them out of work, days at court. Then there's also the mental health side, as you mentioned, and we help parents with that stuff by working with partners, community partners that provide the licensed therapy and the other mental health and wellness services. We're not licensed, but we know who's out there. And so sometimes, even if a parent is court-ordered to seek help, they don't always have a list of resources provided to them. So it's something that we're able to bridge the gap, and we do it in conjunction with a lot of other local nonprofits.
So, you know, this is a statewide service accessible to parents across 67 counties. Greg, give us some
Correct.
Of the tips that you share with parents as they're navigating the custody process, the do's and the don'ts.
Well, I'd like to back up just a little bit here because I think some of our education goes into the tips, right? So we have what we call our three pillars. And the first thing that we have is education, right? And so the first thing that we want to do is make sure that our parents understand the process of protecting their children's rights to have access to them. And that can come in many forms depending on where the parent is coming from. You know, do you understand what the VDOP is? Do you understand what a parenting plan is? Do you understand, you know, from all levels, you know, what it is and the process of what it takes to protect your children's right to have access to you. And so that second step then, you know, we have our three pillars. The second stage is the mental health, in which we spoke about previously, right? So that second step, you know, and what sets us apart from other organizations is we have the lived experience, and so we get the opportunity to really talk to parents and have that empathy with them. So we have the opportunity to talk them down off the ledge of what we call fight or flight, right? Because a lot of our parents come to us, and the first thing they want to do is fight. Well, if we get the opportunity to talk to them and have them educated on the process and get them thinking in the right way, then we get them away from fight or flight. And then that third stage is the legal aid and documentation review, right? So we have three pillars: education, mental health, legal aid, and documentation review. And so that last part is making sure the documentation is correct, right? So now that you're educated and your mind is right, let's make sure your documentation is in the right place. So once you go through the process of protecting children's right to have access to you, your documentation is actually holding everyone accountable. So when you go into a courtroom, now you have a more favorable outcome for your children with these actual three pillars that we want to go in and focus on.
One of the most incredible columns that I read, and you do appear in local magazines around town, is how do you represent yourself? When is it time to hire an attorney? And do you understand how court procedures work? Can you give a little tips to our listeners about this?
Yeah, Greg's going to take that, but I would say it's that decision of whether you should represent yourself or not. That's a big one. Some people, they dive into it without knowing what it all entails. So that's a big part of it.
Mm-hmm. And so just to follow up on that, that decision to represent yourself goes into play after you get educated, right? After you understand the process, then you have the opportunity to make that decision. Do I want to go ahead and get the attorney to represent me after I'm educated, so now I can hold the attorney and everyone else involved accountable? Or am I articulate enough to go ahead and be able to get the message across to everyone involved to make sure that we protect children's right to have access to parents? So the step and the actual the idea of representing yourself comes from you then being educated and going through the process first. Then once you've gone through that process, then you have the opportunity to say, well, hey, do I want to represent myself, or do I want to go ahead and get legal representation? And that's the real tip that I would give parents, is educate yourself first. Get that information and that understanding of the process and what it takes to protect that child's right to have access to you. And then make sure your mind is in the right place. And then once your mind is in the right place, make sure your documentation is telling the story to protect that child's right to have access to you. Those will be my tips for parents: education, mental health, then legal aid and documentation review. Once you have those, go ahead and make your decision on whether you want to represent yourself or get the attorney to represent you when you go into a courtroom.
Right, and more often than not, the parent that does decide to represent themselves, usually that means they had been working with an attorney. So they've gotten pretty far down the process. They've probably spent a lot of money and had legal setbacks. So very rarely, and we wouldn't recommend just deciding to do that from scratch. Normally it's a parent who they've been let down, they've spent a lot of money, and they want to just take a different approach. And so a lot of what we do is help parents avoid common mistakes, even when it comes to the lawyer consultation search in terms of finding the right attorney. One of the more common mistakes is the parent didn't hire the right attorney. They often don't do enough due diligence. Sometimes, you know, there's a sense of urgency, but other times there's just a lack of due diligence, and maybe they didn't hire an attorney that regularly practices in family law. You know, you can go on different attorney websites and see their practice areas, and family law could be one of 5 to 10, if not more, different practice areas. But asking that attorney the right questions, for example, how much of your practice is dedicated to family law, specifically custody law? Can you tell me the outcomes of your last 3 to 5 cases? You know, things like that. So asking those right questions before you commit to an attorney, because that's a major decision.
Let's talk about the key tips of a parental plan. This is very crucial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd say the categories are very important. Holidays, what you want to do is address everything up front and fill all the gaps and holes, which is what we're here to help with, because something that's not addressed in the plan can cause a major dispute 5 years later. So getting everything right to avoid costly mistakes down the road.
Greg, share with us some of the mistakes that parents make. I know that you guys have talked in your column about parents bad-mouthing other parents. Speak to some of the pitfalls that you help parents avoid with ourchildrenhaverights.org.
Absolutely right. That is one of the main things that our parents can actually have a pitfall in doing, is actually bad-mouthing the other parent. But some of the things that we really want to focus on and really help parents understand, and what we call, you know, our three things that, you know, you should really try to focus on and get in your favor when you're going through the actual custody process, right? And the first thing is the actual distance from the child, you know, or the other parent, right? So in the state of Florida, in most cases, if you're outside of 45 miles, then the state will automatically put you in a long distance plan. So it is key to actually go and educate yourself on the plans that are out that you may get mandated to be involved in, you know, based on the mileage range, right? And so the second one would be insurance. One of the main things that we want to tell our parents is, you know, if you don't want to pay a high actual custody or actual child support payment, it's imperative to understand, you know, who is covering the insurance. Whoever has that insurance, is covering that insurance, is more than likely going to have that insurance be counted on their side of the child support calculator. So if you want to pay a lower child support, you want to get that insurance on your side. And that third part is the overnights. We want parents to really focus on the number of overnights that you have, because overnights are directly correlated, again, to the support obligation. So those are three things that we really want our parents to focus in on: the distance, the insurance, and the actual overnights. And then after you have those figured out, then you can go on to the other details, right? Do you need a communication app? Do you need things to make sure that, you know, things are communicated properly and you have a repository for the information, one central location to where both parties can share the information, especially if you have a high conflict case? Well, you don't want to go back and forth and asking the information. Well, if you have a centralized location where everything can be read, then you won't have those problems because you can refer to that. So it's just simple tools and tricks and tips of the trade that you can use to avoid a lot of the conflicts that could arise if you have these things put in place early on.
You make this sound so easy, and the consultation is free. So, talk a little bit about the initial process for people who might be wanting to be in touch with you.
Sure. So, we have an intake form on the website. There's no extensive application, there's no fee, there's no enrollment program. It's as simple as going to ourchildrenhaverights.org, our contact page, and there's a very brief form. We call it our initial questionnaire. It's about 10 to 12 questions. And if there's a question that you don't know the answer to, you just put, I'm not sure. And it basically gives us a general overview of the overall circumstances, and then we take it from there. But the parent really dictates the method of communication. We let them decide that. So whether they're more comfortable speaking over Zoom or FaceTime or phone or sometimes even text message, we let them dictate that. And it's on an ongoing as-needed basis. So we might speak with the parent who has just a couple of questions, maybe one time for 20 minutes. And then there could be a parent who we speak with 35, 40 times over the course of a year and a half. So it's an open door policy. It's ongoing and always as needed.
I know that you spend some time in Tallahassee. Give us a picture of what the state looks like when it comes to supporting parents during this process.
Yeah, sure. Greg can speak more to this, but big development over the summer with a new fatherhood, responsible fatherhood initiative that was put into law.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the Good Dad Act is the actual law that has been put in place. And so it has some stipulations now that actually helps both parties now with that accountability. And one of the main things is making the birth certificate a document that can be used to establish paternity. So it's been a big deal, a big help, a big transformation when it comes to the state of Florida, and making sure that children have access to both parents equally. And so it's been a great thing for the state of Florida.
Yeah, and what a lot of people don't know is the amount of mothers out there that also advocate and work very hard for equal shared parenting. You know, it's not the 1940s anymore. It's mothers, fathers, we have careers and jobs, and there's a big contingency of mothers out there who are just alongside fathers advocating for equal shared parenting.
That's right.
So Greg Hill and Jake Hornstein, once again, to find out more, ourchildrenhaverights.org. We thank you so much for fighting the good fight. This is part of Live Life Better, ourchildrenhaverights.org. Learn more about parenting tips at their website. Thank you, gentlemen, today for being here.
Thank you.